Good morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, I'd like to say welcome to Cornerstone Church. Thank you for being here. If you would, please fill out the Connect card located in the seat in front of you, and you can return it to the kiosk in the back, and we have a small gift for you to say thank you for being our guest today. We are continuing. This is the third part of our series on Elijah. And thus far, what we have talked about, we've gone through part of Elijah's life. And one of the things that we have talked about is how Elijah, he announced that Israel was going to enter into a dry season. And the reason why they were going to enter into a dry season, a season where there was literally no rain, was because of their sin. And what was their sin? They were worshiping false gods, specifically a false god named Baal. They were in this drought for about 3 years. But God had told Elijah that the rain was going to come. But he also instructed Elijah, who is a prophet of God, God's spokesperson to his people. He called Elijah to meet the evil king of Israel named Ahab. Their meeting place was on Mount Carmel. And he told him to assemble all of Israel there. So here we are, this is where we were at last week. All of Israel is assembled on Mount Carmel. And once all of Israel arrives, Elijah calls them to decide between following God and following this false god named Baal. The people won't decide though, they instead stay silent. And so Elijah, he challenges the false prophets to a challenge. There is 450 false prophets of Baal and 400 false prophets of Asherah on this mountain, and Elijah challenges them. He says, whichever God lights this wood, this sacrifice, and this altar on fire, this will be the one true God. And so all of Israel's watching as God sets the altar on fire, while Baal, who's not even real, obviously did nothing. Israel turns back to God, and they put to death the false prophets. That's where we left off last week. We're going to pick up right there this week. Today what we're going to talk about is receiving rain. Receiving rain. Because see, the rain had not came yet. Now, rain in the Bible actually often represented God's blessings. And you think about who the books of the Bible, who they were originally written to, were people who lived like in the Middle East. A dry area, very dry area. So any rain they get is a blessing. And so that's why blessings are often symbolic of God's, rain is often symbolic of God's blessings. And so what I want to talk about today is actually receiving blessings from God. But I need to start with this. Make sure we understand this. God is a good father. Who is for you? The God of the universe, the God who created everything, is not against you. In fact, Paul makes clear in Romans 8:31, he says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? He makes clear in Scripture that God is for us. The God of the universe, the God who created everything, is for you. Which means that He wants what is best for you. That He wants to bring good into your life. In fact, Paul later on, or actually before this, says that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose for them. That God wants to bring good into your life, that He's a good Father that wants to care about you, that does care about you, that wants to bring good into your life, that wants good for you because He loves you like a son or a daughter. And because He loves you like a son or a daughter, He wants to bless you. And this is not going to be the prosperity preaching type thing today. This is Scripture. God wants to bless you. Matthew 7, 9 through 11, here's what Jesus says. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Try that for lunch today and see how they are. If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus basically says, if you as an earthly father know how to give good gifts to your children, then don't you think the one being in the entire universe that is good through and through, don't you think that he knows how to give good gifts as well? And knowing that he loves us and that he cares about us and that he's for us, he is going to give us good gifts. In fact, right after Paul said that God is for you, and if God is for you, who can be against you? He says in the very next verse that since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? He wants to give you good things. I need us to understand that starting out today. Now, I'm going to open up a little bit. For me, I have a hard time believing God wants to do or bring good things into my life. And I think that's a struggle that many of us have, especially the conversations I have with people. It's clear to me that many of us don't think that God wants to bless us. For me, I don't know if it's shame or what it is, but to some degree, I ask God, why me? You have so many other things, so many other people that you can work through. I specifically struggle about this with our church. God has so many other churches that he could work through. Bigger churches with better pastors, with a better leader leading them. And it is sometimes hard for me to believe that God cares about little old Cornerstone Church in little old Seagrove, North Carolina, and he cares about little old Nathan. When we have people dying overseas in Afghanistan, we have a hurricane hitting Louisiana today, I think, why would God want to bless me? Here's the cool thing about God. He can be taking care of the people in Louisiana while he's still right here, right now. He can bless someone else while he's also blessing us. And I know other people struggle with thinking, why would God want to bless me? And a lot of that is we think so little of ourselves that we don't think God has time for us. But I also think part of this struggle is that we don't know exactly how to receive God's blessings sometimes. There's a book I read a while back from, it's called Hearing God, and it's by Dallas Willard. And in the preface, he shares a few quotes that I want to share with you today, because he talks about doing the will of God. And he says that we can be doing the will of God, but that's a different matter than just doing what God wants us to do. And I thought about that, and at first I wasn't sure I agreed with him, but then the more he talked, the more I agreed with him. He says we can be solidly in the will of God and know that we are, without knowing God's preference with regard to the various details of our life. Generally, we are in God's will whenever we are living the kind of life that he wants for us to live, if we're being obedient. But that leaves a lot of room for initiative on our part, which is essential. Our individual initiatives are central to his will for us. So what is that basically saying? He's saying that as long as we are being obedient, we are in the will of God, but within the will of God, there's a range of options. There's a range of things that we can experience in the will of God based off the decisions you make on a daily basis. So I'm not one of those that believe that God has one person out there for everybody that they're meant to marry. I don't believe that God forces us or has limited us to just one person out there that we are compatible with in the whole wide world. Now, I'm not saying that when you're done with your first wife, move to your second wife. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you choose. He has set a boundaries up within his will. For Christians, don't be unequally yoked. for Christians, we need to make sure that we are dating and talking to and married to other Christians. But within that, I don't think he says, all right, I've got one person for you. And you have to find that person no matter if they're on the other side of the world or not. And if you don't find that person, then you're just going to be single for the rest of your life. I believe that there are decisions we make, and this is an example of our daily life. Anyway, I believe that so many of us might be in the will of God. We might be doing what God, within that boundary, we might be within the boundaries that God has set for us, but sometimes I wonder if we may not be experiencing everything God wants us to experience. We may be obedient, but we may not be experiencing all the blessings God wants us to experience. And that's kind of why I'm talking from today. Did you know that God wants us to ask Him for some things before He will give them to us? James gives us a clue into this in James chapter 4. See, the church that James is writing to, the Christians James is writing to, they're sinning because they feel like they're lacking something in their life. And James says this at the end of verse 2. He says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Basically, James is saying, you're leaving some things on the table because you've not asked God for it. And I think sometimes I wonder if we are leaving some things on the table because we have not asked God for it. And the reason why we don't ask God for it is because the devil has made us believe that God does not care. And He does, because He's a good Father. I wonder sometimes if God wants to do more in our life and through our life than what we are experiencing. Yet we don't know how to receive the more that He wants to do. I've already mentioned in our prayer today that our word for the year is more. I believe, church, and this is specifically a word for our people, I believe God wants to do more through us. He's just waiting for us to claim what He wants to do. Because we don't know how to claim what He wants to do, we are missing out on what God wants to do in and through us in our community. I believe our lives and the lives of the people around us are being affected negatively. Our community is being affected negatively. And I believe that we are not living the full life that God wants us to live. So what I'm going to talk to you today is about receiving rain. Receiving God's blessings. So let's go to 1 Kings 18. Start with verse 41. This is after Elijah had Israel put to death all the false prophets. And Elijah said to King Ahab, you better go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm a-coming. Now this is interesting because he's in a valley right now because they put to death all of the false prophets in a valley. And I think the chances of him hearing a mighty rainstorm was slim to none. In fact, you're going to read later that there was actually no storm at this point. At verse 41, there was no storm out there on the horizon. And so what Elijah is doing is, I don't think he's hearing the rainstorm. I think instead he's hearing God. And not only is he hearing God, but he heard God. Because God made a promise. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, the very beginning of this chapter, when he told Elijah, he said, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain. That was the promise that God made to Elijah. So Elijah is banking that God is going to keep his promise because Elijah knows that God is a good God that promises us things and will keep his promise. He's the God of promises. But now what Elijah does next is interesting. He tells the king, rain is on the way. Yet, in the very next verse, here's what we see him doing. Ahab, he went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed up to the top of Mount Carmel. So he was in the valley. He climbed up. And he bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. He goes to the top. You would think he'd be going to the top to get a better perspective to see, I'm going to see if it's coming. No, he goes to the top and then he puts his face between his knees and he's praying. God has already promised the rain was going to come, so why did Elijah feel like he needed to pray for the rain to come? It's because, and this is my first point for you today, prayer is how we claim God's promises. Prayer is how we claim God's promises. God's already promised it in verse 1, but Elijah is praying. He is claiming that promise. He is claiming that God would move, that God would send the rain. Here's how it works, I believe. I believe God has promises for us found in Scripture. Some are general promises for all of His children, but I also believe that God can speak directly to us, to individuals, and give us a specific promise. Now, He gives us these promises. We have these promises in Scripture, and we'll go over them in a second. He gives us some promises in Scripture, and sometimes He will give us or fulfill those promises without us asking. But there are others, I believe, that He wants us to ask for, to claim in prayer as Elijah is doing here. Now, prayer, in the context of today's sermon, is, I'm just going to simply define it as a two-way conversation with God. You are talking to God, God is talking to you, and Jesus made clear in Matthew chapter 7 that God wants us to ask Him for things in prayer. He says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking, the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So God wants us to ask Him for things in prayer. God wants us to request these things. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to knock on these doors of opportunity. He wants us to have that conversation with Him. He wants us to ask Him for these things. And so the question is, why does God sometimes give us or fulfill these promises without us asking? And why does God want us to ask for other things when He could give them to us anyway? I think that there's a connection between us asking God and receiving that helps us to grow in our faith. I think that God sometimes wants us to ask for these things because God wants to remind us where these blessings are coming from. He wants to remind us that they're not from our own doing, they're from Him. I think God wants to remind us that He loves us. And He is active in our life. And I think especially when there's been times in my life where I've asked God for something specifically, something maybe He's promised us or is a promise in Scripture, I've asked Him for things specifically and then to see it actually happening. I'll give an example. My prayer, normally I don't focus on numerical growth, but God has been leading me to pray for our church to experience numerical growth, which we have been experiencing in the last few weeks. That's an answered prayer. You know what that has done? That has personalized things for me. That tells me God is hearing me. That tells me that God cares about me. That God cares about little old Nathan. And you know what that does? That grows my faith. That grows my relationship with God. I see Him answering those prayers. So sometimes God is going to want us to ask Him for things specifically because then when we see Him actually providing those things, that's going to make us realize that He loves us, that He's active in our life. It almost personalizes things. And it will help us to grow in our faith. So let's go over, I just got, I think, five general promises in Scripture that I want to go over today. God promises us, number one, salvation. I believe that's a good one to start with. God promises us salvation. Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. God gives us salvation. Now, what's this salvation specifically for? Well, it's salvation from the penalty of sin, as we were singing it as well. That's what we were singing at one point in that song. We're told in 1 John 2:2, He Himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. So he saves us from the penalty of our sin, which the penalty of our sin is death. And when we come to him and we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he saves us from that penalty. But he also, and this is the holiness message, he also saves us from the power of sin. Romans 6:6, Paul says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So we have salvation both from the penalty and the power of sin. That's a promise in Scripture. Second thing that I want to talk about that's promise is provision. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He will give you everything you need. So all food, water, clothing, money, materials that you need, not what you want necessarily, but what you need, God has promised to provide it for you. I take Jesus' word seriously. That's what Jesus' word says. Third thing that God promises us is peace. John 14:27. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. He gives us peace that we're told is beyond understanding. Philippians 4:6. This is peace that he gives in the middle of our struggles. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. And then there's actually a verse 7 there that we don't have for the screen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. So when we're in the middle of storms, we need to claim that promise in prayer, that God would give us this peace amidst all of our struggles in life, amidst the storms that we are facing. We talked about spiritual warfare last week. When we are under spiritual attack, we claim that peace because it is promised in prayer. Fourth thing is power. God promises us power. This was Jesus speaking to the disciples, but we're his disciples today too. Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He will give us power to be a good and effective witness for him. He will give us power over our spiritual enemy as we fight in the middle of the spiritual war that we are in. That's a promise in Scripture. The fifth thing is guidance. And I know these are general, but he gives us guidance. In fact, we're told in John 14:26 that Jesus says, the Father will send the Advocate as my representative. That is, the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything I have told you. He will guide you. He will teach you. In fact, he's our helper. He is the one that is with us right now. He's the one that lives within us. And so if we ask the Holy Spirit, if we ask God, he will guide us through life as we have to make the tough decisions at times. In fact, James kind of makes clear in James 1:17 that all good things come down from God our Father. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So whatever is good in your life has come down from our good, good Father who cares about us. Church, we have to understand that God, that's how much God loves us. But let me say this. Sometimes those are promises in Scripture. Sometimes I'm worried that we're not experiencing those promises in our life. So many of us don't seem to be experiencing the rain. So many of us don't seem to be experiencing God's blessings, at least not at the level that God wants us to. Now, don't get me wrong today. Yes, we are blessed. The fact that we can worship in here today without fear of someone coming in and shooting every single one of us, that is a blessing from God. But sometimes I wonder if we are not experiencing all the rain that God wants us to experience. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we have salvation because we still willfully sin. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we have provision because we feel like we have to constantly do things to get more. Anybody struggle with anxiety? If God promises us peace, why am I still dealing with anxiety? Anybody ever feel defeated? Restricted, held back? He's given us power over our enemy. He's given us power to be effective witnesses. If he's promised us that, why do we not experience it? Anybody ever in your life not known what to do? My hand goes up again. He promises us guidance. He promises us a helper that will help us. Yet, there's many times in my life where I don't know what to do. Church, I don't think that we experience all that God wants us to experience. Are we living like the Christians that James wrote to? Where he says, I'm going to read this verse to you again. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I believe God has blessings lined up for us that we sometimes leave on the table because we didn't ask him for it. An example of this is in 2 Kings chapter 13. The king of Israel and Elisha, who follows Elijah, are talking to one another. And the king of Israel, he's at war. Israel's at war. And the prophet Elijah comes to the king with a word from God. He basically tells him to shoot an arrow out of a window. And he said it was the arrow of victory. And it was God ensuring victory for them. And then he tells him to pick up the other arrows, strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and he struck the ground three times. But now Elisha, he gets angry. Says, but the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. His action, the king's action, or more like inaction, left victory on the table. Does our inaction sometimes leave victory on the table as well? Are we leaving some of God's blessings that he has set aside specifically for you? Are we leaving them on the table because we're only striking the ground three times? We're not asking him for it. We're not praying for it. We're not seeking it from him. I believe we are, church. I'm speaking to myself this morning. I believe that I am leaving promises that God has made to me on the table because I'm not claiming them in prayer. And I believe there's people in this room who are experiencing that exact same thing. We're living at a deficit of what God wants to do in our life. So we might be experiencing maybe a level 7 of what God wants to experience in our life. And what he wants is a level 10. And we're leaving that 3 on the table. We're leaving that 3 because we're not asking God for it in prayer. So we've got promises that we have to claim, especially these promises in Scripture that we have to claim through prayer. Yet, so many of us are not experiencing all God wants us to experience. Therefore, we must pray. Elijah has already been promised the rain was going to come. Elijah goes to God in prayer. Here's how we must pray. We must be humble. We're going to learn from Elijah here. We must be humble. Now, this position that Elijah is in, I'm not going to demonstrate it for you just to save everybody the horror of looking at that. But Elijah, we're told in verse 42 that Elijah got to the top of Mount Carmel and he bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. If I tried doing that right now, my back would be hating me. Especially from playing basketball the other day. I was not feeling good afterwards. That's a humble position. In fact, I think I've heard it spoken before about this, not really this position, but just bowing low to the ground. When you're bowing low to the ground, this goes back to the day of kings and queens, you are basically putting your full self out there in front of the king or queen, where they could have your head chopped off right there, but you're basically saying, I am surrendering all of myself to you. This is a humble position. He's not even looking for the clouds. He's not even looking for the rain. He instead is just bowing before God in prayer. Church, we've got to approach God humbly. We've got to be humble as we come to God in prayer. And here's something I want to make clear. Realize, and this is part of that humility, that we don't deserve anything He gives us. There is nothing in you that says you are so good, you're such a good person, that God deserves to give you this, that God has to give you this. This is where those televangelists go wrong. They say, well, if you give $100, God is going to give you $100,000. It's not how it works. He don't give us these good things because of something good that we do to receive that. He gives us good things because of His grace, because of His love, because of His mercy, because He loves us as He loves His own children. And so we got to humbly approach God, knowing that anything He gives us is above and beyond what we deserve. We've got to come with this humble heart. And James says in James 4:6, that God gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you're not coming to God humbly, don't expect anything in return. He's going to oppose the proud. He's going to oppose the person that thinks that they can earn God's love. He's going to oppose the person that thinks they're entitled to these things. We're not entitled to these things. Instead, we've got to come to Him humbly saying, God, I know anything You give me. In fact, this next breath I'm about to breathe is a gift from You. It's grace that You are granting to me. And God, I'm so thankful for that. God, I'm so thankful for You, and I'm going to worship You. I'm going to worship You because You're a good God. I'm going to worship You because You love me. I'm going to worship You because I love You. That's that humble heart that we have to come with. So make sure you're coming to God with a humble heart. The next thing we got to be is expectant. Expectant. Elijah said to his servant in verse 43, go and look out toward the sea. So the servant, he went and looked. Then he returned to Elijah and he says, I didn't see anything. Elijah is sending his servant to look towards the sea because Elijah is expecting to see something. He's expecting to see a cloud forming from the sea coming up over Israel to bring the rain. He's expecting these things in prayer. We must believe and have faith that God is going to answer our prayers as well. In fact, Jesus says this in Mark 11:24, I tell you that you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. We've got to have that faith. We got to be expecting God to answer our prayers. But now this is sometimes hard to balance with the we don't deserve it part, at least for me. I'm expecting it, but yet I don't deserve it. So why am I expecting it? Well, I'm expecting it because God is good. Not expecting it because of myself. I'm expecting it because God is good and God cares. And that God has promises in Scripture that He has given to us, His children. And so the key is knowing we don't deserve it, but God loves us so much that He will give it to us anyway. Now, for me, it's tough to be expectant when life is rough. When things aren't going good, it's so easy to let life cause our faith to struggle. But we cannot let life And this enemy named Satan calls us to doubt how good our God is. Our God is good. And he wants to give us good things. You know something I've seen? The longer we go in life, the less good some of us think God is. For me, I had faith. Actually, on my church planner assessment, my faith was the highest thing that they believed that I had. It was like a level 10. And part of that was because I was a 21-year-old who has not experienced life yet, who have not experienced the struggles of life, not knowing where your next meal is going to come from, not knowing whether you're going to have a house the next day, not knowing whether you're going to be alive the next day. Some of that can do damage to our level of faith in God. But this goes back to, doesn't matter what circumstances we face, it does not change who God is. God is still good. Therefore, we should have faith in our good God that he hears our prayers and that he will answer them according to his will. So we've got to be expectant. We've got to believe it's coming. We've got to be humble. The third thing we must be is persistent. Persistent. So Elijah told his servant, go look towards the sea. See if you see a cloud. His servant comes back and he says, I see nothing. And so Elijah said, okay, go again. He comes back. He says, I see nothing. So he tells him to go again. Seven times we're told in the second half of verse 43, seven times Elijah told him to go and look. I don't know how much time passed with all this. Was there a day in between each time he told him to go look? Was it a minute? Was it 30 minutes? I believe I saw there's another place in Scripture that said that Israel went without rain 3.5 years. We're told in 1 Kings it was 3 years when this whole chapter started. Makes me wonder if there was a lot of time between when all this chapter started and when the rain actually came. So this seven times could have been once a month. Could have been half a month. Could be every week. I don't know. But seven times Elijah told him to go and look. And this whole time Elijah's praying. This whole time, Elijah's not looking around. Elijah is humbly coming before the God of the universe. He's humbly coming before the throne of God, and he is asking him for this rain in prayer. He is persistent, even if he isn't seeing anything happening. Jesus makes clear that we are to be persistent in prayer as well. Luke 11, 5 through 8, he gave this parable to explain. He says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat, which during this time that would have been an insult. And he says, and suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, if you don't let your friend sleep, if you keep knocking, keep his family awake, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. In this case, the one we're knocking on is God. Now, God's not going to say, all right, because you keep aggravating me, I'm going to give it to you. But God does want us, this is why Jesus told this parable. We do need to be persistent. We need to keep knocking. Even if we don't see anything happening, even if we don't think God is listening or we don't see that there's anything happening, God wants us to continuously come to him and to be persistent in that. Being persistent means that we don't give up. How many of us have given up and stop praying and asking God for something because we didn't see anything happening? The enemy is going to tell you to try to give up, going to tell you to stop, that God doesn't care, that God isn't listening, that God isn't going to do anything. But here's a lesson, and this I could make this a whole point, but I didn't. Here's a lesson when it comes to God. There is never nothing happening. There is never nothing happening. Every time that we think there is nothing happening, there is something happening. It looked like nothing was happening as Elijah was praying, but he kept sending his servant to look. And we're told in verse 44 that finally the seventh time, seven is the number of completion, so don't give up on six. Keep going to seven. And you don't know when six is going to be. You don't know when you're right on the verge of seeing God move. You keep going until you see it happening. You keep asking God. You keep praying. You keep seeking God until God answers your prayer. And so we're told finally the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. See, while it looked like nothing was happening, really, the cloud was forming. Sarah, she taught fifth grade last few years, and so she knows all about weather. I call her meteorologist Sarah. I actually had this wrong in my notes at one point, but evaporation was happening while he was praying. Evaporation's invisible. But evaporation was happening, and then what is it next? Condensation? Which is also invisible for the most part until you start to see the cloud, and then precipitation. This whole time that he was praying, God was forming that cloud. It was invisible, but it was happening. God was working even when Elijah didn't see it. Same for us, church. God is always listening. God is always working things out behind the scenes for our good. I'm going to read this verse again because it's that good. And we know that God causes everything, including the bad things, including the good things. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose for them. So even when we don't think God's listening, even when we don't think God is working in our life, He is orchestrating stuff behind the scenes to bring it around so that eventually we reach a point where we see that it is good for our life, that it has served a purpose. But now there's a key point in this. It's for those who love Him. So what we have to keep doing is we've got to keep praying. We've got to keep seeking. We've got to keep loving Him, being obedient to Him, knowing that no matter what the enemy tells us, no matter if the enemy's telling you that God does not care about you, that He's left you alone, that He has other problems, no matter what, even when you don't see it, that He's working, He is orchestrating stuff and setting things up behind the scenes so that good is brought into your life so that you can bring good into other people's lives. Therefore, we keep following Him. We keep praying. We keep seeking Him. We have to trust that. So what does Elijah do when he sees the small cloud? He shouted to Ahab, who's having supper. Hurry to Ahab. Or he actually tells the servant. Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. Kind of crazy that all he saw was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he's telling Ahab, you better get home. It is about to rain. Our meteorologist can't even get it right the day of. And here's he saying, all right, there's a little cloud up there. It's about to rain. You better hurry up. You know, I'm thinking Ahab's probably thinking, what? This guy's done lost it. The blood flowed towards his head. He's been in that position for too long. Something's been cut off. He's lost it. Yet, Elijah tells him to go. He acts boldly. He takes a risk of faith. And I could talk about a whole point about taking risk of faith, knowing that God's going to come through, but that's a different sermon for a different day. But verse 45 says this, soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. The rain came. The rain that God had promised came. Why?
because Elijah asked for it in prayer.
Church, I got three questions to close down this message with today. They're going to be on the screen. They're a little bit long, so you might not be able to write them all down. First question is this. What do you need to ask God for in prayer today? What is some need? What is something that you're missing in your life that you need to ask God for in prayer today? Second question is this. What promises of God are there that you need to claim in prayer in your life? Could be a general promise like what I went over earlier. Could be a specific promise He made specifically to you. And finally, this is the one that's really going to get you to thinking. What does God want to do in your life that He has not done yet because He is waiting on you to ask? What is something that God wants to do in your life? Something that God has set aside for you that He has not done because He is waiting on you to ask Him. The reality, church, is that many of us are living not at the level that God wants us to live. Let's just go through the promises earlier. There are so many people who are living without salvation because they still willfully sin. So many people are living without provision. Therefore, they feel like they have to do things to get more. They have to work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, taking time away from their family, taking time away from their kids, taking time away from God, because they feel like they don't have enough. So many people are living without peace. Therefore, we are crippled by fear and anxiety. So many people are living without power. Therefore, we become victims to the enemy and feel restricted as we try to minister in this world. So many people are living without guidance. Therefore, we're stuck in life and we don't know what to do. And there's much more. Church, this is not how God wants you to live. What are we missing out on that God wants to do through us and in us because we haven't asked Him for it? I know that He wants to use you in a powerful way to reach others. Let's pray that that would happen. What do you need to ask God for today? He's a good father. He wants to give good gifts to His children, but He wants His children to ask. Don't leave any blessings on the table simply because you didn't ask for it. Make sure we're asking Him both the general promises that we went through, and there's more in Scripture when you do more study, or the specific promises that He has given to us. Let's make sure we're asking Him for it, that we're claiming those promises in prayer so that we can live our life at the level that God wants us to live it as we strive to make disciples who build their lives on Christ the cornerstone. Here's how we're going to end today. We're going to sing the song Promises. It starts off with God of Abraham. You're the God of covenant. You're the God of promises. He keeps His promises. But I believe God is calling us to claim those promises in prayer. So during this next song, I'm going to invite you to come up and write on one of these note cards promises that you want to claim in prayer. And then come over here to the side. You can get down if you need to get down, or you can just pray. And then you can go back to your seat and worship and take your note card with you. Write down, maybe you're needing guidance today. Write down guidance. Maybe you need to experience more of His power. Claim that promise in prayer. Claim the promise of provision in prayer. Claim the promise of salvation. Claim the promise of peace. Claim the promise of power and guidance. Or maybe it's a specific promise that you need to claim. Claim it today in prayer. Write it down. Claim it. here at the altar. Take it home and claim it all week this week. And you keep claiming it until it happens. Be persistent. Stand to your feet.